The views expressed on the following live program do not necessarily reflect those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comment.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember the days of Governor Jerry Brown. We thought things couldn't get much worse. Moonbeam and his MedFly curse, but now Jerry Brown isn't looking all that bad. Is there someone out there who can save us from the clutches of Gray Davis? He handled the energy crisis. He locked in the highest prices. And now we're facing new tax hikes. Think I might have to ride my bike, cause my license fee has tripled, yikes. Hey, Gray, think it's time to go away. Now I'm singing, bye-bye, Mr. Gray Davis, I suspect that Daryl Issel won't be drying his eyes. When you end up recalled, he'll be one happy guy. Gray, don't worry, we won't forget your impact on our state, you can bet. Did you write your campaign speech? Your deficit estimates did not reach quite as high as they should have gone. And did you believe schools would be safe from budget cuts? Teachers went ape when they found their necks upon the shopping block. Oh, the dot-com collapse was not pretty. Capital gains shrunk, what a pity. We spent more than we took in. This year's budget is still cooking. And pray I will not lie to you. The prospect of new IOUs has given state employees the blues. And soon, they'll all be singing too. They'll be singing bye-bye to that Gray Davis guy. Things just seem to get worse the harder he tries. No one's gonna need a hanky to dry their eyes the day Gray Davis says goodbye.
Well, there you go. Bye-bye, Gray Davis. Mission accomplished. I guess just about everybody knows the news by now, so that's a little tune that's been waiting to be played here for a while. Welcome. This is Richard Quigley. I'm in for my standard Thursday United States Freedom Fighter Forum. Not going to do a lot of election stuff today. There is some things floating out. There are some things floating around that I'm going to run by you relative to this latest fiasco, but then I'm done with it. One of them is kind of interesting. I don't know how many movie buffs we've got out there, but I had a vague recollection, and I went down and picked up a movie the other night from the video store called Demolition Man, if any of you folks remember that. Sylvester Stallone film, and interesting premise. The movie was made in 1993, and that's only going to become important with the little sound clip I took out of it. I want to play for you here in a second. It had to do with Stallone's character was flash frozen, I guess, in the year 2000. For getting involved. He was a cop at the time, and apparently he was a little bit more of a cop than they could handle. So he ended up getting sentenced to prison. And prison in those days was they used to stick people into a block of ice and leave them there until they were rehabilitated, and then they'd thaw them out. And in accordance with their script, Wesley Snipes' character was thawed out a little early and went out and started raising a bunch of hell, and so they unfroze Stallone's character and put a modern 2036 uniform on him and sent him out in this futuristic Los Angeles area to trap the Wesley Snipes character again, because I guess he caught him before. Anyway, they're on their way somewhere. I say they, the Stallone character and his sidekick, who was a female cop played by Sandra Bullock. And they're going down the road, and I remembered this. And I don't ask me why, my mind just grabs weird stuff. But I remembered this scene, and I thought I'd record at least the audio track. You'll hear a little bit of noise in the beginning. That's because they're in a car, and they're headed to a place to see if they can catch this Snipes character. And the following conversation ensued.
I've been an enthusiast of your escapade for quite some time now. I have, in fact, perused some newsreels from the Schwarzenegger Library, and that time that you took that car...
Hold it. The Schwarzenegger Library?
Yes, the Schwarzenegger Presidential Library. Wasn't he an actor when you...
He was president?
Yes. Even though he was not born in this country, his popularity at the time caused the 61st Amendment, which states that...
I don't want to know. President.
Anyway, I thought that you folks would get a kick out of that. A little look into the future there from 1993. Compliments of Hollywood and their stars. You folks are probably well aware that listen to my show regularly that I was a huge McClinic supporter. And I'd hoped that he would be the guy that would pull this off, even though it became clear that my boat was going to be wasted for him. Oh, by the way, speaking of wasting boats, I'm sort of sad to find out that my one boat doesn't make any difference anymore, because back in 1994, I was pretty powerful. 74? Oh, pardon me. 1964. One man, one vote meant a lot to me. In 64, I was told that if I voted for Barry Goldwater in the presidential election between... Barry and Lyndon Baines Johnson, that a vote for Barry Goldwater would assure an escalation of the war in Vietnam. And that year I voted for Barry Goldwater. And in spite of the fact that he didn't win, of course, that war got substantially escalated. And I looked at that. For a long time, I was really worried about the size, the caliber of the boat that I carried. And but this time it didn't work. They told me that if I voted for... McClintock, that Bustamante would get elected. And by darn, I went ahead and I voted for McClintock, and sure enough, it didn't work. So, and Bustamante, if this guy hadn't made a complete jerk of himself, if we weren't fed up enough with his arrogance and the rest, I don't know how many Bustamante supporters are out there, but his concession speech was just ridiculous. He went beyond rude. Such arrogance is the very reason that we have problems in Sacramento. Yeah, Arnold, go ahead and make your movies. We'll watch the home field for you. Call in lines 479-1080, 477-1340. Feel free to call in and jump in. We're not going to do this election stuff forever. I've got a rather important subject I want to talk about here in a bit. It has to do with the Santa Cruz City Council and some help I'm going to be seeking from them. But to finish off just about everything I've got to say on this recall election and the outcome, election night, I was privileged to come down here and share the studio with Cyril for 3 hours. We were doing election coverage, which is pretty funny. You folks have no idea how much time it takes to report the returns on... three issues on the ballot. We had recall and two propositions. And so we spent 1 hour of warm-up, and after the polls closed, virtually within minutes, everybody had already declared the outcome. And so we had to kill some time. In the second hour of that show, earlier in the day, Cyril had on his show a guest by the name of Sean Steele. Sean was the former chairman of the California Republican Party. And they brought him, Cyril brought him on and talked to him earlier in the day, and then he came on again Tuesday night about 8 o'clock. I'm going to share that conversation with you in a minute. Right now, Joe's got something to say about Bustamante, welcome, Joe. Tell us what your opinion is on Mr. Bustamante.
Yeah, I just want to say that I'm a lifetime Democrat. I've been registered since I was 18 years old. I'm 50 years old. I've never, ever even considered voting for a Republican. But I did this time. I voted for Arnold because Mussolini was so arrogant and so self-centered, and that's the kind of power-hungry jerk we need to get out of politics.
Absolutely, and they're all over Sacramento, aren't they?
Well, you know, I don't follow the Sacramento politics other than my local representatives.
Yeah.
But when I heard that guy say that about Arnold, not only at the end, but at the beginning.
Yeah.
The guy was just like, oh, yeah, bring it on, you know, making fun of his accent when, you know.
Yeah.
Bustamante is so unrepresentative of every Hispanic that I know.
And every
90% of the Hispanics I know are the most considerate, polite people that you'd ever want to run into.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely. I will absolutely jump on that with all fours. I mean, yes, absolutely. You're correct. And not only that, but he reflects extremely poorly on the Democrats.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, the Democrats didn't need that either. And, I congratulate you for your vote. And let's see if this doesn't work out. You know,
I hope it does. But I tell you, it was so hard putting my check next to that Republican, next to that name. You know, I saw Republican, I was just like fighting myself all the way, but I went ahead and did it.
I know how you feel, and there were a whole bunch of Democrats that did that, too. And I hope this is going to work out for us because, this honeymoon with Arnold might just work long enough to make it pay off. But thank you very much for your call, Joe. We appreciate hearing from you. Ben over in Salinas. Ben, I swear to you, if you make this a Bush thing, it's going to be a while. Talk to me. Ben.
Don't worry. I'm not going to insult your sweetheart. But to you Schwarzen Nazi supporters, I have the record of his first three things he's done since he's been in office already.
Okay, hurry.
Here we go. He's going to do away with Medi-Cal aid to blind and disabled. He says he cannot repeal the tripling of the car tax because he can't replace the money from other sources. And him and his bedroom buddy, Warren Buffett, are definitely going to do away with Prop 13, which means the homeless population is now going to have elderly and disabled among them. Good job, Republicans.
Okay.
You should wear lapel pins. Saying about the women in your lives, cop a feel. It's no big deal.
Ben, thank you very much for
the
call. Ben. Okay. And, Asa. I love this lady. Asa, welcome to KSCO. Talk to me.
Hi. Well, I have a big problem here.
Oh, no.
Well, the news people announced this problem this morning. The news people have a terrific problem. And I think that we all need to contribute to it. And I don't know what the answer is. But Schwarzenegger doesn't make a good headline. And they are just terribly frustrated because they don't know how to make a headline with Schwarzenegger. They are open to suggestions. So any succeeding people who want to make a suggestion of how to make a headline. I mean, he's got to have a nickname. He's got to have something. Otherwise, we're going to have to call him Arnold.
Well, I believe that's what it is. I think we all settled on Arnold. It's certainly something we can all spell. And as informal as the guy is going to be or appears to be going to be, I don't really have a problem with that. Now that I am off trying to figure out ways to get McClintock where he belongs in this election at the top, I'm prepared to take a longer look at Arnold. And I've been listening to him, and I know that his hands are tied, and I know he's in bed with a bunch of people that I don't care for. I mean, there's nothing less Republican than a Pete Wilson Republican. But, if the Democrats are going to be expected to cut the guy some slack, and let's see if he can, in fact. I mean, let's not kill his effort with with the negative energy is my thing now.
Well, apparently, the legislator is all busy. They are busy corrupting whatever little time they have left.
Oh, Lord, aren't they? And the
Lord.
Governor's signing everything that's coming up. I mean, and I was so, I'm livid. I'm livid over the Almquist appointment.
Absolutely.
It would seem to me that a gentleman, never mind, ethical, but it would seem...
That's asking too much.
Yeah, but it would seem to me that a gentleman... Once he has been rejected cleanly, soundly, clearly by the California populace, would politely bow out and to make the appointment to the bench of Jeff Almquist the morning following the disgrace of the night before, Asa, it just, to me, it just, I just shake my head in shame for the guy.
But it's not just him, it's all his little hench people up there. Every little person that's going to be, every little worm that eats away at the foundation of the Sacramento is busy there gnawing away, crunch, crunch.
Yeah, and the one thing we didn't do was put a stipulation on there that the second that it's decided by the vote, you know, that all his power goes away, they're going to wait for the certification. I think that's why Daryl Issa stuck his head up again, to a lot of people's chagrin. But Issa's trying to get these election results certified in the next 2 weeks rather than giving Gray Davis and his bunch 39 days to see how much damage they can do.
Oh, my Lord, I sure hope he does. I hope he can.
You know what? He filed the lawsuit. I don't know if it's going to fly.
Well, where's the ACLU when you need him?
Yeah, exactly. I hear you, Asa. Thanks very much for the call.
Cheerio.
Okay. I'm gonna switch now a little bit. One of the things I was talking about the conversation that took place with Sean Steele, and we got to an area in the conversation talking about He ended up endorsing Schwarzenegger. Sean was very much involved in the recall. He discredits ISA for much of the effectiveness of the recall. He credits him with 500,000 or 600,000 votes or whatever. It was pretty clear that he did speed things up. But anyway, while he was talking about all of this stuff, I got into him a little bit and was asking why we didn't go with the honorable guy. But when I got invited into the conversation, it was at the point where Cheryl had just established with him that the state, that Santa Cruz County was obviously going heavily against the recall. And his response was what you're about to hear, and it had to do, I got dragged into this conversation. I really didn't want to take the man on because I was very angry with him for some of the things he'd said earlier. But this one got me, and I wasn't going to say anything, and then I did, and you'll hear me have my little fight with myself. But I figure this is a minute and 20 seconds of our show the other night that you might get a kick out of hearing.
People in Santa Cruz are not going to vote for Schwarzenegger?
Well, I know that would shock you about Santa Cruz, but there's a lot of lefties and hippies left over, still high in the drugs, and they haven't grown up yet. But that's a minority in California.
Well, that sounds good. Richard, you expressed some.
I'm gonna leave that iffy, hot spoken line alone. I'm just gonna sit here and let you interview your guest. I will see if your guest will at least concede that guy he didn't vote for is probably the most honorable candidate to run for governor in.
And you're talking about
my recollection.
No, since Ronald Reagan.
Who else would I? Yeah, of course it's Ronald Reagan.
I think you're right, and my mission has been to make sure that there is no nastiness at all from the Arnold camp against Tom's camp, and there hasn't been, thank God. I want to see a working relationship, Tom providing the brains, the economic power, the economic strategy, and Arnold's team picking it up. And the one really good sign for Arnold is that he's been swiping and stealing a lot of Tom's best ideas. That's the highest form of flattery. That's what we want to see more of.
Yeah, then we want to see more of stealing ideas. And of course, the Republican Party, according to Sean, is planning to use Tom's brains and wherewithal to guide Arnold, but they couldn't get behind him as a candidate because he couldn't win, because the media kept saying that he couldn't win, and so all those people duped by the media didn't vote for him. And sure enough, you know, you can say something enough times and I guess make it true. Steve called in from Watsonville, got an idea about how to deal with the governor's new name. Steve went away. Okay, I lost him. So that is a jewel that will be forever lost. I'm going to take a break now and run a few spots, and then I'm going to come back, and we're going to talk about a totally different subject. I have a mission for the Santa Cruz City Council that I'm sure that they will accept graciously, and I think it's something, I hope it's something that you folks will agree with. So I'll be back right after this. Okay, well, somehow or other I dropped a commercial out there somewhere. Technical error on my part. I hope they'll forgive me in the future. Is that Steve back on one, Rosemary? Is that what's going on there? Okay, we were off the subject, but let's go back to it long enough for this pearl of wisdom. Steve, what from Knoxville? give us an insight on what we would call our governor now.
Well, this was actually a suggestion a friend of mine offered the other day discussing the subject. He felt that Arnold should have his last name legally changed to Actor, seeing as that's how Chronicle and many other papers identified him in their headlines. They say, Actor says this, Davis says this. So just call him Arnold Actor and everybody's happy.
That might work. Well, whatever it is, good luck to him. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. And for Ben and Salinas, if he's still listening,
He's always listening.
Yeah, I'm sure there's not much else going on, but if he's down on Arnold, I imagine he was maybe a Bustamante supporter. And the good news is for him is, at the end of this term, he might be able to meet Cruz Bustamante, clearing a table in a local restaurant or something, because I don't think he has much of a future.
No, neither do I. But the problem is he ain't going to be settling tables because he sold out for enough money. He'll never have to work again.
That's too bad because his boss would have the perfect instructions. Boost the money, bust the table.
Oh, perfect. I'll talk to you later, Steve. Thank you very much. All right. On to more serious subjects. Congratulations, Arnold. God bless you. We need the help. Let's do it. I hope it works out. Okay. Santa Cruz City Council felt empowered here a while back to do to approach the Congress, I guess it was, to start an impeachment of George Bush. With all the stuff they've got going on, they had enough gall to do that one. So I'm figuring, okay, if they've got that kind of a national interest, and they got those kind of connections, and they have that kind of time, I got a great idea for them. And so I got the idea from, I was looking for a job for them of that kind when I ran across this article called Metalgate. Metalgate is written by a writer by the name of David Hackworth. And Dave's written a few books, and he's a pro-military guy in that he's got a lot of respect and regard for the guys that... the guys that actually do the fighting, the ones in the trenches. He's written Steal My Soldiers' Hearts, Price of Honor, About Face, such notable books on the subject and paying high regard to the military. A couple of weeks ago, Bill came on the air here and talked about how during the hurricane down there in Washington that the president had authorized the guard there, that guards the unknown soldiers' tomb to step in out of the rain, and they turned that down in favor of paying honor to the unknown soldiers. And you know, that kind of gallantry is pretty rare anymore, and I think there's reasons for that, and this is one of them. In the article, and I'm going to read just a few paragraphs. I hate reading on the radio. Two reasons. Number one, I don't read that good, secondly, it's not what you folks called in to hear or tuned in to hear, but this is a good story. Recently in Iraq, he writes, an Army two-star general put himself in for the Silver Star, a gallantry award for just being there, and for the Combat Infantryman Badge, an award designed for infantry grunts far below the rank of this division commander. During the war, members of the Air Force bomber crew were all awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross for lobbing a smart bomb from 30,000 feet into a house where Saddam was rumored to be breaking bread, even though Saddam's still out there somewhere sucking desert air. In 1944, the only way a bomber crew might have gotten the DFC, the Distinguished Flying Cross, would have been if it had wobbled back from Berlin on one wing and a prayer after a dozen-plus missions of wall-to-wall flak. Here's another, believe it or not, when the Scuds were thumping down in Kuwait, a Navy two-star admiral and six of his flunkies were awarded the Bronze Star after a missile struck 10 miles away. Now, if you folks remember, I talked about this stuff in relation to that little girl that got in the truck wreck over there, and she ended up, they tried to give her a Silver Star, and that didn't work, so then they tried to give her a Bronze Star with Valor, and nobody would sign on to that. So they ended up giving her a Bronze Star, which, you know, these awards are supposed to mean something. And out of respect for our veterans generally, and particularly those that have earned medals by putting their life on the line, I think it's important for people to look at this, and maybe there's an answer. You know, maybe there's something that we can do to get some sort of honor back in this military awards program. To get back to the story, he wrote, "Not that these abuses of the award system are anything new, the U.S. military's award program, designed to recognize both our combat heroes' valor and the meritorious deeds of those hardworking supporters who bring up the rear, has never exactly been fair. In the past, Joe and Jill have gone unrecognized because there was no one left at the end of the battle to bear witness, or the paperwork got lost or wasn't written persuasively enough, or some eager Beaver officer in the chain of command stole their glory. In other words, these guys went out and did their last stand with the kind of valor that they make movies about, and weren't even recognized because of those elements. I know of two medals of honor," he writes, "one in Korea and the other with a Navy unit in Vietnam, that shamefully went to still living former officers, when in fact their above and beyond deeds were actually witnessed by psychopaths, and I'm sure that means similar award recipients, were actually performed by grunts. In fact, they didn't do anything, but they got the medals. In the latter days of the Korean War and in Vietnam, Grenada, Panama, Desert Storm, and Somalia, such abuses of military honors increased with each battle. In Vietnam, a dog was awarded the Bronze Star, and in Grenada, more medals were awarded than there were soldiers on that tiny island. In Desert Storm, Army infantry battalions that never saw a shot fired were awarded the coveted combat infantry badge. Now, warriors in Iraq are reporting that COs are using a quota system for awards. Sergeant Bill Casey, whose unit saw heavy combat in Iraq, says, quote, "Our awards were not given out on heroism. They were based entirely upon rank and duty position. If you were a company commander, you got a Silver Star. If you were a platoon leader or platoon sergeant, you got a Bronze Star. If you did a good job and were at the level below that, you might get a Bronze Star. If you were a PFC, you probably didn't get a Medal for Valor. Every award was entirely based upon rank and duty position, rather than whether that person stood tall and continued to return fire, or whether that person continued to bring the fight to the enemy, or flat out ran away when the bullets started flying," end quote. So there is what has happened, or is happening, to our award system. He points out some more. Let me finish off. The U.S. Air Force has approved more than 50,000 medals for operations in the Middle East. The U.S. Army, trying to catch up with the folks in blue who flew through all that imaginary Iraqi flak, has issued medals as though they were Cracker Jack prizes. So far, they've pinned on tens of thousands of awards, from the coveted Distinguished Service Cross to the CIB, which is that combat infantry badge. More than 5,000 Bronze Stars alone have been awarded. One half of the members of a 700-strong aviation squadron at Fort Stewart were recently presented Bronze Stars and commendation medals. But as of September 22, 2003, the U.S. Marine Corps has approved only 56 meritorious Bronze Stars, 46 to officers, 10 to enlisted, and 15 Bronze Stars for Valor, 11 to officers and 4 to enlisted, for their 70,000 fighters who have kicked more than a little butt during the war in Iraq. Kudos to our gallant Marine Corps for not following the quota system, and to its top brass for refusing to play the Pentagon's public relations medal giveaway game. And it goes back to what I said when I talked about that young girl getting a Bronze Star, and those guys that went in there when all they faced was a bunch of people standing in that hospital pointing to the room where she was, Jessica, whatever her name was. They got Silver Stars for heroism. I mean, I don't know what your pictures are of what it takes to win a medal in war, but these don't suit mine at all. And so I'm thinking, how do I do this? You know, how do I as an individual go to the Pentagon and say, Well, come on. You know, you need to recall these medals. You need to put something back in them or set up a new medal program so that when somebody does something besides run, just because they're running in the right place at the right time, don't end up getting medals of honor. Now, they have ribbons that they assign to people when they serve in a certain area of war. And if what they're trying to do is acknowledge their service in the Middle East, they have a ribbon that they can put on their uniform, and that means they served there. But these medals of honor are supposed to be reserved for people that actually perform honorable feats. So I'm thinking about how I go to the Pentagon to do that and realize I'm powerless to do that. So I start looking around and thinking, well, who isn't powerless to do that kind of thing? And that's when I came up with this idea of the Santa Cruz City Council. If these guys can put together a resolution to promote and ask, you know, for the impeachment of George Bush, if they got that much time and that much power, I believe I'm going to stop by and see them at their next city council meeting and see if I can encourage them to approach the Pentagon on behalf of the veterans in this county, some of whom may actually have earned some of these medals and would like to take some pride in some of these medals to know that they were recognized for doing something more than a dog. And don't get me wrong, I don't think that a dog should not necessarily be awarded a medal of honor. I think absolutely a dog should be awarded a medal of honor. I would like to think that honor is one of those things that allows you to take your name and take your situation and evaluate the alternatives, contemplate how much peril you're in, and move forward anyway. And I don't think a dog can do that. And her name is Jessica Lynch. Thank you very much, Jessica Lynch. I tell you the truth, Mary Rosemary, I wouldn't have cared if I didn't remember. I'd just soon forget that woman and everything that she's brought to the fore. I just got in a truck wreck. Why don't you get a truck wreck in Alabama? Ended up in a hospital. Jessica Lynch, she's going to be a disgrace. Anyway, agree, don't agree, whatever, the call-in lines, 479-1080, 477-1340. I'm just sitting here doing my rant on behalf of those veterans out there that have served and served bravely in defense of this nation and its ideals. And I'm just absolutely sick and damn tired of people minimizing their contributions. And I look particularly at those Vietnam veterans who have come back and taken so much flack instead of the heroes' parades they should have been entitled to, and think of the ones that actually earned those medals. I know a guy that actually won two Bronze Stars. And to be honest with you, he is the one that inspires me to do this, mostly because he is so damaged by what has been done with all this. I've had him call me twice and talk about this, and I've known the man for almost 14 years. And I found out that he had the medals by accident. He didn't want anybody to know. And his brother was going through some papers and ran across this thing. His own brother didn't know that he'd won Bronze Stars. And I've asked him 50 times, if I've asked him once, what he got him for, and he's never been willing to talk about it. He's like any of the guys that actually were in Nam that I've ever met. They are reluctant to go into a lot of detail about what they survived over there, and I'm not one to drag them into having to relive it to tell the story. But this really cuts deep at this man who did win two Bronze Stars and is on. He's a disabled soldier today as a result of his heroic efforts. And to sit there, and one of the things that he told me, you know, how when he looks at them, what can they mean to him now? When they're handing them out to sergeants in front of these squadrons or troop leaders, just for being in the middle of all this and not for having to, don't go into any burning buildings or not, you know, just don't put anything really on the line. In fact, can all but run, are getting these medals. And I don't know about you folks, but that pulls at me inside. It pulls at me deep inside that these kinds of things are happening from our government, and that there's nobody standing up and saying, you know, Wait, stop it. Two-star general put himself up for a silver star with valor. What's wrong with this picture? Santa Cruz Mike, talk to me. Mike, Santa Cruz? Oh, we lost him, Rosemary. He must have been on a cell phone. Maybe Mike will call back in. I think he was going to offer something to this discussion. I know I don't expect the guys that have earned these medals and live in this community to call in and say much, because it's not one of those kind of things. If you think about it, I don't think it's going to happen. This is one of those fights where we have to fight the fight for them. They've already done what they've done to earn these medals. We need to preserve the integrity of what that medal represents as citizens. And whether or not going to the Santa Cruz City Council to get them to do it will work or not, I don't know. But, you know, if you got any better ideas, let's go down that road. I'm totally prepared to do that. I mean, I will do whatever we can do, within reason to get this taken care of. Mike, talk to me from Santa Cruz on your cell phone.
Hey, how's it going there today?
Well, I'm hanging in as best I can.
Hey, I caught you last 10 or 15 minutes. I don't know what it is. Like, I never served in the military, but a lot of my family did, so I can't really appreciate what it takes to, like, get those types of awards. But I think our whole society now makes all kinds of good things. They make it cheap so that anybody can get it, so they can appease the politicians. I don't know what's going on here.
Hey, I don't either. I had the same battle with the Board of Supervisors down there, one of whom is now a judge, about when they lowered the flag down there in front of the county building. They were lowering it because the secretary in the district attorney's office died, you know, from some malady. And it's not that I disrespect the woman or her life, but when you lower the United States flag to half staff, you would think it would have something to do with pretty heavy, you know, government involvement or something.
I think there's all another issue, too. You know, we have a whole generation coming along now. Some of them are 25 and 30.
Yep.
They've been taught in school to hate America. They've been told that the white man has oppressed and destroyed everyone.
Yep.
The rich man is the most evil person out there. Businessman is the most evil. You got Hollywood supporting them. So, like, I tell you what, another 10 or 15 years of this, and before everyone can learn the truth, it's going to be too late.
Yeah, and people aren't going to care if we lose it, because it ain't worth nothing anyway. And, I mean, if there's ever been a case to be made for just destroying the nation, I think this is the kind of behavior we're talking about. So, Mike, you and I got a serious job if we're gonna provide for our children and our children's children, don't we?
Hey, well, I want to ask you, are you going to start doing the Saturday morning show more often?
I will do it when Michael asks me to. I don't push for anything. I'm just grateful for the hour a week. I come in here and sit in here, and I'm just grateful to get to do that.
Well, I really enjoyed that one you did a couple of weeks ago. That was fantastic. That's what I was wondering. I didn't know if it was a regular deal or not.
No, it just happens when Michael's out of town and needs it. But if you want to vote for me, give Michael a call. Leave it on his answer machine.
You know what would be a great idea? And I'm just throwing this out, but I think there should be some investigation into what's really being taught in our schools. I don't mean from a prejudiced view or something with an agenda, but like, why are these kids coming out hating America? What have Americans done that are so bad? We're the most generous nation on earth.
A friend of mine was telling me about the history books in school right now, and he talks about in World War II, when they have the whole thing on World War II, and he says there is like 5 pages to 1 to the war. Better than 80% of it, 85% of it has to do with the internment of the Japanese. And that's what they teach our kids about World War II, was the underbelly, the dark side, the worst that we did, the worst that came from it. And yes, there's something wrong with that. And yeah, we need to take a look and we need to fix it. Mike, thanks for your input. I appreciate your calling. I appreciate your listening to me. And I'm glad you enjoyed that show a couple weeks ago on Saturday. Mary Lou from Scotts Valley. Welcome to KSCO, Mary Lou.
Hi, Mr. Quigley.
How you doing? Mr. Quigley, Lord, that makes me feel old, but go ahead.
Well, I'm probably older than you. That's why I have to be very respectful.
Well, yes, ma'am, I appreciate that.
No, I wanted to say that I'm so happy that you're going to try to do something about the medals that are given out. My son was in Vietnam for a year, and he came back with two bronze stars, and of course the explanations why he got them, and believe me, he deserved them. But I think in Vietnam it was a little bit different. At least in his he was in the infantry, and he saved two different episodes. One was where he saved about six boys from an APC.
See?
And that was wonderful. And then another time he just put himself on the line and held back some. I'd have to read it to you, but it's very involved.
I'm sitting here with goosebumps, Mary. Well, I don't know about the rest of the world, but I love a hero. I love a hero. And guys like your son, those awards that they were given deserve to be preserved. The honor intended deserves to be preserved, and it's just sad that we live in a country that can't see that.
Well, he also got the infantry medal, and then he was they wanted to give him the silver star, but it did not make muster, I guess.
Got it.
But you know, when you see a guy like Gray Davis that got a silver star, what in the name of God did he get a silver star for?
And who knows? Who knows when they're giving them away like this? Honey, I got to go. We're out of time.
Oh, but bless your heart. Well, you're just wonderful.
Well, thank you very much for the call.
Oh, you're welcome.
Talk to you again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What a sweet lady. Yes. Thank you, dear. Thank you for your son. Thank your son for us. There should be more. All right, we're running out of time. This is Richard Quigley, finished up the United States Freedom Fighter Forum on KSCO, AM 1080 Santa Cruz. See you folks next week. Thank you, Michael.